Hey, this is Father Boskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about all things spiritual. The Next Step is a podcast that allows you to look at life through some very old and ancient lenses, polished up in a new manner. We call that Armadoxy, and we invite you now to sit back, enjoy, if you'd like, crawl with us, walk with us, run with us, but we're ready to take the next step. This podcast is made possible by the good folks at Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So let's take it. Here's the next step. It is very exciting time, isn't it? If you can run, walk, crawl. This is a nice invitation. I like it because there is an invitation to walk. And I really feel in the mood that we are so ready for these next steps. We are now in our third year of podcasting. And I got to tell you, each time we get together and we put the crew together and we're ready to podcast, there's an excitement because it tells us that, you know, we are moving it forward, that we are looking at life through some very exceptional lenses. A lot of stuff happened since I last left you. Well, first of all, last Thursday, right after our podcast, I went out and I completely forgot to share this with you. Completely forgot that the asteroid shower was taking place that night. Yes, the annual event here in the Northern Hemisphere. It was exciting. It was exciting. Stayed up all night. Messed up my whole schedule. You cannot believe it. This is not recommended for the light at heart, and I don't recommend it for anybody. Do not do this at home. I stayed up until 5:30 the next morning, watching these little asteroids streak across the sky. Sometimes there weren't that many. Sometimes we saw a few of them. It was kind of interesting. I've seen a really nice shower in the past. I've seen it up in the mountains, up in the Sequoias, and I've seen them up in the Sierra Mountains. But this time I was ground level. I was in Pasadena, California. And there were some city lights that, of course, always distract the scene, but it is still beautiful. It is still a wonder that, you know, here we are, this giant ball, the Earth, going through space, floating around in space, going around the sun, and here's the sun going around a galaxy, and the galaxy going around the center of a universe, and it just really puts a lot of things in perspective when you could sit there and just stare out at the skies. And you see these little streaks. These asteroids are part of, well, they're part of a comet that we go through every year, right around August time. I believe it's even the same dates. It's a 365-day phenomena, how the comet goes around us. So we are like in the tail, and these small little chunks of ice come into our atmosphere, and they just streak across the sky. And, you know, they're neat. What can I say? You see them burning up, and you see chunks of ice. You see possibly bits of a meteor, bits of an ancient civilization. You never know what's coming at you, do you? Anyway, it is just like so exciting. So last Thursday, right after we did our podcast, The Next Step, I went out there, and like I said, there I was until 5:30 the next morning. And sure enough, Friday morning, I had to be up at a meeting at 10 o'clock. So I was just off the whole next day. But it was well worth it. Once in a while, you've got to do these things. I think it has something to do with age, too. See, that's one of my problems. I never matured from that youth position. You know, I still, in my head, I'm still thinking I'm a young guy. And there I am until 5 in the morning, sitting out looking up at stars, at planets and asteroids, and I go, oh man, shouldn't be doing this, you know, should have been doing this when I was a young kid. Well, we did do it when we were young kids, but it was so exciting then. I guess we're still doing it. So anyway, that was the excitement for that Thursday night. And we fast forward, and this week I went through, remember the necessary evil that I always tell you about? Like, I've got this little deal with myself. If I could get away with doing 30% of my time with stuff that I have to do, necessary evils, and as long as I could get away with doing 70% of the stuff that I like to do, then I feel like that's a good compromise for me. That's a balance that I can live with. Well, here we were again this week. We had the annual clergy meeting. And I'm going to share some thoughts about that, too, in a few minutes. Actually, it's going to be the theme of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be looking at some... Well, let me not spoil it. Let me not spoil it by going a little ahead of the schedule. But we're going to be talking about that. What came out of that clergy meeting and what does come out of that clergy meeting. We got some great email I got to share with you that, you Next Step listeners are incredible people. I just can't tell you how impressed I am with the caliber of writing, the caliber of thought that goes into so many of these emails that I get. And I really, really thank you for sharing, for confiding. I don't know if we're going to get to them. I need to get in touch with a couple of the authors because I want to make sure that it's okay to read over the, over the podcast. But as soon as I do in the next few weeks, I'll share them with you. But I do want to thank you. I want to thank you for contributing to the confidence. Is that the way I should say it? Yes. Okay. Contributing to the confidence. I mean, it is really weird. I mean, we put together this podcast, you know, and here we are in this little room. There's Ken behind the smoke-colored glass. And I got to tell you, that smoke is kind of like cleared away quite a bit. Yes, it looks like he's in an aquarium nowadays. Anyway, there's Ken over there. There's Susie. Hi, Susie. And there's Ani. Always got her nose in the books. I can't believe how much she studies. And she had a wonderful weekend, too. Beautiful weekend. Ani got engaged this weekend. Actually did the ceremony. Yes, she was engaged with a young man named Eric. That was really neat. That was really neat. We prayed that God bless them with all the goodness of two young hearts finding each other in this world and, you know, being able to arrive at that wedding altar, be able to arrive at that day of holy matrimony in a very mature fashion, having a respect for one another and a love for one another. And, it was very, very moving, got to tell you. So we have, anyway, back to, this is my problem. I get too romantic sometimes. Anyway, back to reality. Here we are in this small little studio, and the four of us, sometimes a few of the people are gone, and you just got yourself in a microphone. And I guess, radio personalities do this all the time. They sit there and they talk. TV personalities, I guess, do it too. You don't know who's tuning in. You don't know if there's one person or if there's 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people listening to you. Well, in the podcast world, it's a little bit different because it's not too much different. I mean, basically, the dynamics inside the studio are the same. You're there with this little microphone, and you're watching the things go on the screen, the little scribbles go on the screen. That's, of course, if Ken allows you. Yes, thank you. And anyway, you're hoping that there's an audience out there. You're putting it out. And you don't know what that audience is thinking. So when I say for contributing to the confidence, really it is through your emails, it's through your feedback that we get the confidence to continue this, that we get the energy, we get the strength.
No brain.
Really, yes, we can talk all we want about God giving us the strength, but after all, there is a practical purpose for this, and we're reaching out to you. So when we get that email, that feedback from you, whether it's your calls, your emails, whether it's the notes that you send with your donations, it's all appreciated. And you know what? It gives us the strength and it gives us the courage to know that, you know, what we're doing over here is not just some isolated little event over here, that it is reaching out to people. So thank you very much. Hey, listen, we start off every podcast with a song. Today is August 18th. It happens to be a very special day. Well, I think all days are special, aren't they? Actually, a very special one for me. It's the birthday of my third son, Christopher. Happy birthday, Christopher. And it also happens to be the anniversary of Woodstock. You remember last year we did a full show on it. It was the 40th anniversary. And I remembered it because last Sunday, you know, we have promotional CDs that we give away at our church. And Susie gave away that particular episode of The Next Step to a young lady who had come. And I thought to myself, wow, Woodstock does live. There is a lot of that idealism that we need to reclaim. Anyway, It's not the topic of today, but certainly we could remember. It was August 18th when Woodstock ended 41 years ago today.
I'm born up the country, baby, don't you wanna go? I'm going up the country, baby, don't you wanna go? I'm going to some place where I've never been before. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. We can jump in the water, stay drunk all the time.
Canned Heat playing Going Up the Country. Now that is the iconic song of the summer of love of Woodstock, the Woodstock generation. Yeah, see how I did that? We mixed in a little bit of icons, a little bit of orthodoxy with the real world. And you know, earlier I said this, and I take it back. I said this a few minutes ago, that it's not the topic of today, but it certainly is. Isn't that what we do here on The Next Step? It's kind of reclaiming a little bit of that idealism that so many of us toss aside. When Jesus invites people to be like children, why? Because children, well, they dream. Children sit there and they believe in a tomorrow, despite how difficult today is. Children forgive instantly. I mean, it is really something. Well, I shouldn't say instantly. Of course, they pout, but you know, it's from day to day. You get mad at a child today, tomorrow morning he or she wakes up and there's a big smile on his face and he's ready to take on the world in a new way. There is that ultimate forgiveness. There is that being a child attitude that Jesus invites us to adopt that we really need to take seriously. I mean, you talk about some of the diseases that are coming on in our lives. What are they caused by? Aren't they caused by stress? Overstress? Have you ever heard all these commercials lately? I would think it's a phenomenon of the last 5 years or so. They'll advertise a pill, and you don't know what the pill is for. They'll tell you it's this pill or this drug. And then at the end of it, there's this major disclaimer. With the guy talking, you know, if it causes suicide, heart attack, if arrhythmia, if you have bleeding ulcers, if your toes fall off, you know, discontinue it. Or what are we selling people? What are we giving people? It's wild. Sometimes you hear it. If you have thoughts of suicide, if you think like, you know, after taking this pill, if you stop breathing, if all of a sudden your eyes pop out, What are we selling people? And what is going on in this world? And isn't it all coming down to this stress level that we find ourselves in? The cars, the planes, the idea that we are constantly on because of technology. I mean, we're contributing to it, aren't we, right now? With this podcast. I mean, isn't it enough? You say, okay, Father Voskin, why don't you just leave your stuff for Sunday? Well, because there's so much to offer. We're in this reality. And here we are. And that stress level contributes to everything. And Jesus says, become like a child. Let the children come to me, for to them belongs the kingdom of heaven. Well, why does it belong to them? Why does a kingdom belong to the children? Well, because they have the attitude. They are able to forgive. They are able to approach each day as a new day. They are able to put to rest their excess baggage, their old stuff. They're able to absorb. Ever seen a child just absorb new information? You know, they're not know-it-alls. They're not know-it-alls by any stretch of the imagination. Yes, I know. You're thinking about the teenagers who know more than the parents. No, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about children. Real young children. They just want to absorb. They want to take in. And Jesus asks us to be like them. To be like the children. To be able to get on with our lives. And we come back to our purpose here, right? To reclaim some of that we have lost. To reclaim that childlike feeling. I mean, that is really at the core of all true religion, isn't it? And you look at what is the purpose of religion, to lose the self. And that ultimately is what children do. They lose the self. They live in the eternal present. They are there today. They live for the day. They've lost self. The ego has been lost. Yeah, they start learning it really early in life, don't they? And guess where they learn it from? From us. Isn't that incredible? Jesus says, become like children. And what do? We teach them to become like us. I hear this all the time in church. In fact, I heard it yesterday. We were at a clergy meeting, you know, about how we have to do this for the youth and that for the youth. How about slowing down, and how about looking at those children and saying, what can we learn from them? What is it that they have? Why did Jesus point to them and say, be like them? What was so special about their character? And how dare we, really, this is really an indictment on us. How dare we say, we want to offer this and that to the children, when what we're really offering is a bunch of stuff that's going to bring them into the same position of searching for those pills at the end. Looking for those pills that are going to, well, supposedly put their lives back on track. Hey, their lives are on track. Can we learn something from them? So, getting back to what I was saying, yes, the whole point of this show is really to reclaim some of those dreams, those visions. Now, next week I'm going to be talking specifically about the dreams that we all have, because something major happened in our lives. An earthquake of cataclysmic proportion happened in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about the ground moving. I'm talking about a reality that we are faced with. And I'm going to share it with you next week, because we hit another anniversary. But hold off on it. And we're going to be talking about those dreams that we sometimes lose. So I hope you'll join in next week. But for today, how about reclaiming some of the things that we've lost? Especially that love, especially that freedom, that ability to express ourselves and not get stressed over all the things that the world seems to be giving us, but accepting that we are part of nature's plan. We are part of nature. I'll share this one with you too. We were at a class once, and we had taken a field trip out to it was a canyon area, and one of the instructors that was with us said, all right, everybody be quiet. You know what kind of voice I'm talking about, right? that voice that's more disruptive than the voices it's trying to lower. Everybody be quiet. Okay, we were. So everybody was quiet. And here we were out in this field, and, you know, there's like these valleys, and you see the trees up there. It's just beautiful. Nature at its best. And he said, "What do you hear?" And we started listening. And we heard out in the distance, we heard the brook. We heard the water flowing. What do they call it? The babbling brook. We heard the trees rustling. We started hearing birds chirping. We started hearing birds close, far away. And then some of the bushes were rustling. And sure enough, there were little animals. In fact, I remember by our feet, there were little lizards. And you heard them scooting along the sand. And surely all of this we would have not heard had we continued making the noise we were making. But that was exactly the point, that we were enjoying nature void of us, without us. And it occurred to me that, hey, you know, we are part of nature as well. I mean, if we laugh, if we talk, is that really a sign of disrespect for nature? Or is that adding our 2 cents to the entire bank, the collective of nature? And certainly there has to be a happy medium. Obviously, you can't hear some of the beauty out there, and that in itself has to be worth something. But at the same time, you can't discount yourself. And this is the same argument that we use many times when we talk about young people. We were saying a few minutes ago how we have to offer the young people. Many times people will, again, I heard it yesterday at the clergy meeting. They are the future of our church. And I'm sure you've heard it in your organizations. They are the future of our organization, of our company. Well, if they're the future, what are they today? Do they not exist today? There's something wrong there, right? They're not the future. They are the present. There's something wrong with being quiet in that natural setting and saying, "This is nature." No, you are a child of nature as well. Now, this isn't a call for disrespect. It's not a call for abuse. But the idea of being able to flow with nature is something that comes to us from the earliest of times. That you are not someone observing nature, but you are part of nature. You are part of that collective. And that participation is what you're called to do. And so, when many times I've shared with you that the Armenian Church is very holistic in its approach. It's holistic. Why? Because when you come into the church, the corporate worship, the services, ask you to really put all your senses into it. You have to hear, you have to smell, you have to see, you have to be able to touch, and you have to be able to taste, to get all the entire experience of the Armenian Church. And it's all there. It's all there. And so too, when you're standing in the middle of nature, you are a part of it. You need to be able to flow with that nature. You need to be able to say that I am a child of the Heavenly Father, as that squirrel is, as that lizard by your feet, as the bird in the air, are all of His creation. So too, you have been created with this soul, with this spirit, to share in His glory, to share in His creation, to share in the goodness that is all around you. And that perhaps is what children do best, is that they're able to really flow in the moment. You take them along to something that they don't want to be at, they'll kick and scream, but eventually what happens? They're part of it. They're not observers. They throw themselves into it. They jump on the couches. They go in there and they wrestle. They fall and they tumble. They're in there, in the moment. And God calls us to do the same, to really fall down, to wrestle, to tumble, to get into the moment of life. It's all around us. To be able to smell, to be able to drink, to be able to smile, to be able to use all of our senses in all that there is to enjoy. Does this mean to abuse? No. That's the point. When you're standing out there in the middle of nature, you do need to flow with it. Not to stand out there like a sore thumb and just yell and scream and everything, right? You need to be able to flow with it, to become one and part, just like the squirrels, just like the birds, just like the insects. At times, they're still. At times, they move. At times, they eat. At times, they tumble. At times, they fall. They play. They're never abusive of the surroundings, of the environment, but they are part of it. And so too, we are called to life to flow with it. And that means our relationships with one another. We need to be able to flow with those people. Sometimes they're not pleasant. You need to be able to find your compromises. As I told you a few minutes ago, I've got this one that works for me. It's a 30-70 split in my work. Yeah, I wish it could just all be this eternal bliss where you just sit down and you look at Jesus' words and you say, wow, this is beautiful. But there has to be, you know, necessary evils. There is a form, there is a hierarchy, there is a structure to the way you do your work, even as a church, even in getting that faith out. And don't say, yeah, well, you could just read the Bible. No. People in need don't come to you if you're just sitting there reading a Bible. They do come to churches, don't they? And the church becomes then a vehicle through which you can channel your efforts. You can channel your energy so that you can work through the church, right? They're not just going to come up to you because you're sitting there. They're going to come because they recognize, they identify with the institution. And that institution has its importance. I know, it's easy. Yeah, we talked about Woodstock. Yeah, you could destroy the institution, right? At one point we said we didn't need the institution. No, you do need it. Because no matter how you look at it, people search for structure. They're looking for order in life. That's why, you know, water will always seek its equilibrium. It's not chaos out there. We seek our equilibrium. We don't seek chaos. We want to bring order and structure to our lives. Sometimes that structure gets overwhelming, gets too much. And that's when you need to kick back and remember that what it was like to be a child. What is the call that Jesus calls us to be as a child? Children are not chaotic. Children are not chaotic. But neither do they have that structure and that order where they forget to be children. It's a small call. It's a call that we're all being invited to really find ourselves, to reconnect with what we've lost, a lost paradise, so to speak. Okay, we can see that Ani is ready with her bubbles, and I'll be back in a couple minutes and give you the message of the day. I want to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday at the clergy retreat. But let me say no more. Right now, we're ready for the fiancé of Eric. Here's Ani with today's bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is about the obstacles in our path. In ancient times, a king had a boulder placed on a roadway. Then he hid himself and watched to see if anyone would try and remove the huge rock. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants and courtiers came by and simply walked around it. Many loudly blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear. But none did anything about getting the rock out of the way. Until a peasant came along, carrying a load of vegetables. On approaching the boulder, the peasant laid his burden down and tried to move the stone to the side of the road. After much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. As the peasant picked up his load of vegetables, he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king, indicating that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. The peasant learned what others never understand. Every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve one's condition. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Well, I definitely will say amen to that. Live through enough obstacles to know that, yes, they do present opportunities. And so, thank you, Ani. Good luck with everything you're doing. Good luck on all your plans. God be with you. Thank you. Ani does these bubbles once a week, and they are just like the soap bubbles, which, you know how you watch them go up into the sky and it takes your imagination away, too. Just little snippets, just small little stories to help our minds wander a little bit and think about what's going on over there. Hope you enjoyed it. That's Ani with her bubbles. And now we've got Susie with an announcement.
Hi, this is Susie from In Your Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. Just another opportunity for me to remind you as well. You know, your donations go a long way. They help us buy equipment. They help us get space on websites. You know, we've got 3 years of Next Step podcasts that are now archived. They are on archive servers, and they get out to you anytime you want them, 24 hours a day. And I got an interesting note from a young man the other day who said that, you know, thank you for doing this. There is no Armenian church where we live. And thanks to the podcast, thanks to these broadcasts, he's able to follow along with this virtual community. Same thing that happens on Wednesday nights when we have our regular Bible studies. You know, we call it Questions in Faith. But you know, they're basically Bible studies that anybody can join wherever they are in the world. And you think about it, what an opportunity this is to really spread the message of Armenian Orthodoxy, which is that Jesus Christ is at the center, is the life, the way, the resurrection, and the hope for all of humanity. And we have the key. We're not cramming it down anybody's throat. We're just saying this is what we believe and it works. Hey, would you give it a try? So if you're out there, you're listening to this, and you say, hey, you know what? I want to support. I want to be part of what's going on at epostle.net. Hey, drop us a check today. More importantly than that, there's a couple things more important than the check. Susie told you you could hit on the donate button, and it could be a credit card. Now I'm going to tell you something more important than your check and the credit card. It's getting the word out. You have the means to be able to blog about this podcast, to be able to write about it on Facebook, on Twitter. Get the word out. We appreciate it very much, and it is the one way, we'll say the most prominent way, that this gets dispersed to the large audience that's been listening to it. So thank you once again, and we look forward to hearing from you as well as your donations. And yes, I'm sorry. Thank you, Susie. The address to write us at is 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. And that, of course, is available at our website as well. InIssues.org, epostle.net. It was certainly the Feast of St. Mary last Sunday. And when I say feast, it was feast. They estimated a crowd of about 800, 900 people at our small little parish in Glendale at the Youth Ministry Center. And it was exciting just to see so many people. We did the traditional service of blessing of grapes and passed it out, even to some people who had no knowledge of what it was about. And of course, we did the explanation, something that we shared with you last week. And as you know, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the idea of giving in respect to receiving. Jesus' command in Acts, in the book of Acts, saying that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the challenge, of course, is it really? Is it really, especially in this world today, where we are idolizing people who make a career, a life, out of receiving? And the more you receive, the better you are, the higher status you have. So where do we come off about giving? And we talked about this over the last several weeks in the podcast, in our Bible study, in our questions and faith on epostle.net. You could download the archives. But here's a small little story that I want to add to. I shared with you this little story, this little anecdote that goes like this. The man who takes all of his accumulation of wealth and goods that he has, and he says, I want to share this with God. And he takes it and he throws it up to heaven. This wealth of cash, of gold, of silver, of goods that he has. And he throws it up to heaven and he said, God, whatever you want, please take. Send back the rest. And of course, everything falls back down. And the idea is that, well, God doesn't need anything. And remember, I shared with you last week what God does need. Yes, and it's exactly, it didn't occur to me until this Sunday during the sermon, that the end of that story is not that it just falls down, but that there is a second collection. And we as the church need to be able to collect it. That it is being blessed by God and coming back down, and it is up to the church to pick it up and use it. Use it for what? To do God's work. Once it's been blessed, it needs to be used. And if your church doesn't do that, then it fails to be a church, right? If a church isn't taking that money and using it to feed the poor, to visit those in prison, to help the bereaved, to comfort them by taking them supplies in their times of need, then it fails to be a church. It is not the body of Christ. And by you supporting it, writing out a check, all you get is a tax write-off. You don't get a chance to really experience and participate in that loving relationship of the church community. And so the ending of that story really defines what we call the church, doing the work of Christ. Now, yesterday I was at a clergy meeting, and I've shared with you a lot of thoughts about these meetings in the past. But this time I heard one of the priests who very eloquently spoke about his reflections inside of a parish and what he's going through. And he gave us a list of things that he saw needed to be done in the church to provide for the goal. And the goal, of course, is church attendance. The goal, of course, is bringing people to church. Ultimately, I would imagine it means the salvation of the soul. But here's step one, two, three. These are all things that need to be done to bring people to church. And it's very commendable. I commend him that he at least had the foresight to put this on paper as a plan and share it with other individuals. That's very nice. But sitting there listening to him, it challenged me really to think about what would I say? Would there be... If you followed these podcasts, you know where I come from. You know, I wrote a small little piece just last week about KISS, Keep It Simple, Stupid. Such a nice little phrase, you know. The most memorable things that we have in life are these very simple. I remember the first George Bush brought it down to points of light. We talked about the sound bites. Remember that? Like, what would be the one little sound bite that would be remembered? And I thought, like, okay, if I was being asked the same question, what would it be to bring people to church or to bring them to faith or bring them to salvation? What would be that one little point? And what would I say? What would we need to make this happen? Now, here was a priest, you know, articulating a plan. We need to have more picnics. We need to have get-togethers. We need to have opportunities for people to pray together in a language they could understand, so on and so on. Well, what would it be for me? If somebody came to me and said, okay, tell us what's the secret. Why is it that, okay, you've been in San Jose, you've been in Pasadena, you've been at Glendale, and people come to church. What is the secret? What do we get across to people? Well, yeah, I guess the easy one would be to say faith. People need to have faith. That's the necessary ingredient. But then I think about that for a while and think about it with me. I say, okay, have faith. Have faith in what? Aren't there conditions involved in that? Doesn't faith come with conditions? What is that faith? Does it mean commitment in something? Does it mean believing in something? Do we have people that are committed at that level? Okay, what if we say education? Okay, what if we say education is an important thing? That we need to educate people so that they can become active. Well, they need to be educated in the faith. Well, that certainly is a noble cause to run after. But here's one that I thought about and I thought about, and I realized that this is the unescapable one. It's sincerity. You want to make a church work, you need sincerity. Sincerity trumps all else, because when you're sincere, then you have the faith. Then that education process seems to flow, like we talked about a few minutes ago, flowing in the nature, in life. And I want you to just follow me for a minute in this thought process. Sincerity. In 1978, when I was still a student and not yet ordained, I remember reading an article in Psychology Today. It was, why are young people going towards Eastern religions? And it was very, very interesting, because it wasn't the philosophy that they were expounding. It was the structure. It was the way that the structure was set up, so that as young people went to these places where Eastern religion was taught, they were taken in by friendship. The sincerity and warmth of the people. You think about it. What keeps you in a community, in a faith community? Is it really the belief, or is it because inside of that community there is a group of people for whom it seems that that faith works? And that is measured by their sincerity. When you look at Jesus' ministry, one of the hallmarks of his ministry is this incredible capacity to forgive. And he keeps telling us, forgive one another, love one another, and is predicated on that forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass us. And his tremendous capacity is exemplified at the cross. We're seeing blood dripping from all sides of him, huge nails gouged into his palms, a crown of thorns sticking into every portion of his forehead. And this being done by a group of people he created. And yet he looks down at them and he says, "Forgive. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." This tremendous capacity to forgive. And yet, interestingly enough, there is one group of people, it seems that he doesn't forgive. Look at it. Throughout the Gospels, you see him forgiving time and time again. But to the hypocrites, he doesn't forgive them. "Woe to you, hypocrites," he says. And if you remember last week, I shared with you this idea, that the idea of hypocrisy is not for us to really talk about, because it's one word that we should not be using. Because the minute you call someone else a hypocrite, you are a hypocrite. Because who is it that lives and does not sin? Only Jesus is sinless by definition, right? Love incarnate. Love cannot sin. And by definition there, Jesus does not sin. And therefore, as a sinless person, he has the ability to call others hypocrites. He has the ability to see the speck in our eyes, because there is no log. There is not even a speck in his eye. And he refers to those hypocrites, well, he says, woe to them. He says, he refers to them as the condemned ones. And only he can do that. It's the one word that we shouldn't be using, hypocrisy. But I bring it up here, why? Because if you're looking for that one word, if you're looking for that one thing that's going to make your church, your organization, your collective, your community work, it is sincerity. It is being able to be completely, totally sincere. And that means even admitting that we are in a sinful state, even admitting that we are hypocrites. Yet we get together. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. We do get together as a collective, as the body of Christ, and we find that perfection from one another. See, because we can all talk the good talk. We can say that we accept Christ. We can even say he is my personal savior. We can say that I am a student, a disciple of Christ. But what does that mean? Again, there is a hypocrisy involved, because we know what that means. You know what it means. I know what it means. It means forsaking all else and walking behind Christ, so that where he is, there his servant shall be also, so that he will honor us in front of the Father. Well, how does that come about? By doing the work of Christ. When he looks out and he says, who is my family? Who are my children? Who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Those people who hear the word of God and do it. That's how simple it is. But you have to do it. So it's giving definition to all of these terms. By being sincere, we are giving definition to all of these terms. By saying, well, we are bringing Christ to others. Or we are accepting Christ. We are followers of Christ. We are instructed in Christ. These things don't mean anything unless we are able to follow Christ in his footsteps, to walk in his shoes, to be able to reach out to the poor, to be able to comfort the bereaved, to be able to visit those in prison, to be able to look at the least of his brothers and see the face of God. We're called to this life. We're called to that life as Christians. It is the highest calling, because it is a calling of love. But it's what defines us. And to be sincere is the starting point, because it means that you're opening your heart to that perfection. You're opening your heart to the possibility, to the possibility of making that love real in your life. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. There is so much to talk about, so much to share. Never have enough time. But I do want to invite you to our websites, inissues.org, as well as apostle.net, where you'll find this podcast, as well as all the other podcasts, resources, all those things in our archive servers, even Bible studies that you could follow along. Also in Issues, we are going to be updating very shortly with some blogs and information about what's going on. We're getting ready for our next season starting next month. So there's going to be a lot of information, a lot of things coming up. You'll want to check it out. That's inhisshoes.org. It's our philosophy and it's our website. Hey, for all the wonderful people who make this podcast a possibility, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani and her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.